powerful one, because it's assuring us that we should bring all of our requests without anxiety, but do it in a tone of thanksgiving. Jeremiah 29:12 assures us that when God's people pray, He listens. "I know the plans I have for you," declares the Lord. "Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." James 5:16 tells us, highlights the power of a righteous prayer. "Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed." The prayer of a righteous person is a powerful and effective prayer. These are all reasons why we're commanded to pray. We should pray. But we don't just pray because we're instructed to. We pray because God desires to be in communion with us. Instead of wishing and hoping for what you think you need to do, focus more on what He has already done. Too many times, we look at prayer as a wish list that, and God's not a genie. We can't just say, "Oh, God, I need to win the lottery. I need instant healing. I need to control my anger." We ought not pray for God to reward or answer our will, but we pray so that our will is aligned with His. The more time we spend with Him, the more our will start to line up. And yes, the question that my friend asks is like, does it have an effect? Well, we've just read several cases where when you ask for courage, God provides. We know He's the comforter. We know that He is the redeemer. So when you go to Him with needs, God's going to be careful. Because when you pray for patience, God's going to give you a difficult person to deal with. He's not going to reward you with instant patience. If you pray for strength, He's going to give you troubles to overcome. That's why James tells us to rejoice in our trials. Because those trials will create perseverance. And through that perseverance, our faith is perfected. Now, how do we pray? The advice I gave my friend was, in the teaching realm, in the pastoral circles, there are two main approaches on how to model your prayers, and I advised him to look at the Lord's Prayer. It models a balanced petition, a heartfelt request, but first of all, you come to the Father in adoration. "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Start with adoration. Second, your prayer should be kingdom name. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Acknowledge and ask for daily provisions. "Give us this day our daily bread. And lead us not into temptation." Forgive us. Ask for forgiveness. Bring your sins to the Lord. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And finally, prayer for protection. Lead us not into temptation. The second approach to prayer is the ACTS, A-C-T-S pattern. You start your prayer with A, adoration and acknowledgement, much like the Lord's Prayer. The C is confession. Even when you just confessed them 2 hours ago, when you come to the Lord, confess your sins, your failures, and your shortcomings. T is for thanks, thanksgiving. Thanking the Lord for your daily provisions, for your blessings. And finally, the last is supplication. And supplication is a humble and earnest prayer in which believers ask God for help, guidance, at expressing dependence. Not dependence on what God might do, but dependence on the promise that he's already guaranteed. But that's kind of clinical. When we pray, you know, I don't listen to it all the time, but when I do from time to time listen, people aren't necessarily modeling or structuring their prayer. That's not important, really. I'm reminded of another story of a man who was battling cancer, and he recently had been put on hospice care, and so his son made the flight to go spend time with him, with his father, until he passed. And when he went up to his father's room, his father was pretty much bedridden, couldn't move much past the bedroom. He noticed the dining room chair was sitting next to his father's bed. And after talking and going through how his father's feeling and exchanging how much they love, he says, "Dad, by the way, what's the dining room chair doing up here?" And he said, "Well, funny thing is all the years that I took you kids to church and all the years that I had been part of the church and participated in church, I never knew how to pray. As a matter of fact, I talked to our pastor about it, and he gave me 3 books to read. And through the first chapter of the first one, I had to look up 11 words in the dictionary. So I gave up on it. And then a friend recommended that I listen to these sermons, so I went online and started listening to these sermons on prayer, and God forgive me, I fell asleep. So I just gave up on it. All these years, I just didn't pray. I was committed to God, I served the Lord, but I just didn't pray until finally the youth leader at our church said, "Try this. Just sit down in a chair and put another chair, empty chair in front of you. Close your eyes and just imagine the Lord Jesus sitting across from you. And talk to him. Don't try to formulate, don't try to create the Acts formula, don't try to think of big words. Talk to your friend. Talk to your Redeemer." And it worked. He said, "I never had a closer relationship with anybody. But when I got sick, I needed the chair here. So now that I'm in bed, before I go to sleep, I talk to my Lord." And his father was moved to tears, or his son was moved to tears, and he said, "Is there anything you need?" And he says, "I'm not supposed to have it, but I'd like some ice cream." So he says, I gotta go check into my room and I'll bring you back some ice cream. So he goes and checks into his room near the airport, stops and gets his dad's favorite ice cream, butter pecan. And he gets a call from the hospice nurse and said, "You need to get here." So he rushed home, surprisingly not pulled over by any police officers, gets to the door, and the nurse says, "He's gone." So he goes up to his father's room and walks in, and his father had drug himself out of bed and died with his head laying on the chair. He died in the lap, in the arms of his Lord. God doesn't need us to surprise him or impress him. He just wants our hearts. He wants us to come to him with a righteous, honest heart. Because we're human. I think the real Lord's Prayer is found in Matthew 26. 36 through 46. And this is in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus prays to his Father. And I would point out, you could open your, because I'm going to read from that. That'll be our scripture for today. This is the most human, I wager, the most human we see Jesus in all of the Bible. Matthew 26, starting in verse 36. And this is happening shortly after Jesus predicts Peter denying him 3 times. So, starting verse, chapter 26, verse 36. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane. Gethsemane, if you didn't know, means oil press or olive press. So this is the structure that they would use to bring the goods, the olives, to make olive oil. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, "Sit here a while, while I go and pray over there." In Luke, it tells us he was about a stone's throw away. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, which are James and John. And he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." How many of us have been exceedingly sorrowful and just needed someone there, not to say anything, not just to be present? He went a little farther and he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father." The word he uses, Abba, which means daddy, so informal. "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour?" So Jesus, it says he fell on his face, was an hour pleading with the Lord, pleading with his Father. "What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." I wondered while reading this, he's addressing Peter and the other two, their weakness of flesh falling asleep, when he's asking them, but is he maybe, and there's nothing biblical to back this up, but I wonder, is he saying that out loud about himself, recognizing his humanity, his flesh is weak, because he was 100% man and 100% God. Again, a second time he went away, prayed, saying, "Oh, Father, if this cup cannot pass from me unless I drink it, your will be done." And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." Pray with intimacy, just as Jesus modeled for us, saying, "Abba, Father," which is an Aramaic for daddy or papa. Being reverent still, but be childlike. We are his children. I don't care how old you are. Be honest with the Lord, because Jesus said how sorrowful he was, and he said, "Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me." Be honest about things. When you're mad at God, God knows it. Let him know. He's heard an earful from me. I do it respectfully because I don't understand. Honestly express your fears, your desires, your struggles, trusting that God knows and understands your inner life. Surrender to God's will fully. Jesus demonstrates this by saying, "Not my will, but your will be done." Pray in preparation. Know that God has promised that prayers are answered, maybe not the way we want them to be answered, but prepare for God to answer. Pray with persistence and deep focus. Jesus wanted to be alone. He was away from everybody else, and he sat for an hour. Luke records that Jesus, it says he prayed so earnestly, his sweat were like drops of blood. But also understand, in Mark, when Jesus is being honest about his fear, an angel of the Lord appears to give him strength, and Jesus is strengthened. So pray with the understanding that you will be comforted, you will be strengthened from the Lord. But as much as that does it for me, there's more to prayer than just that. And what we miss out so much is the listening. We're told to be still and know that I'm God. Be still. God will fight your battles. Listen. Listening is an important part of prayer. And I'm reminded of a story that Matthew West told. If you don't know Matthew West, he's a great Christian artist. He attended a Christian camp with his daughter. She was there for almost a month, but he was allowed to be there for a few days to participate in some things. And in this camp, this activity, the fathers or parent took their kid through the woods to a lake. And the kids were to be blindfolded. So Matthew West blindfolded his daughter, and each parent gave their child the same three instructions, three rules. The first one is, I will never leave you. Second rule, only listen to the sound of my voice. And third, you can ask me a question at any time. Now this activity was, the parent was to guide the blindfolded child through the woods back to camp. So when this started, he made his daughter repeat the rules until she understood them. So when they started, he was able to keep his hand on her shoulder and guide her verbally. And it went pretty good. Until at some point, once they got away from the sound of the water, silently there was a camp counselor that instructed the father to take his hand off his daughter, off of her shoulder. Now he could still verbally guide her. So I'm sure the daughter felt like, oh, wait a minute. I felt your hand on me and now it's gone. Anybody ever feel like God's hand isn't on us anymore? So fear starts to set in. But he could still verbally guide her. It went a little slower because she took smaller steps, not knowing sure before, she just followed his guide. So when he'd give her an instruction, turn to the left, it was a tiny turn. No, a little more. It took more doing. Once they got deeper into the woods, silently again, the counselor was told the father to stop talking. And so he stood there and waited while his daughter sat, smiling, nervous, leaves rustling, the sound of the other campers are slowly fading away, and the father, Matthew West, is just going, ugh, what's the third rule? You can ask me something at any time, and she just sits there. It felt like forever, but when she started kind of humming, the counselor went up to her and said, hey, you look a little lost, do you want some help? And she said yes, and he was like, you're only supposed to listen to my voice. And he says, don't worry, I'll help you out, I'll guide you. So he guided her, but he didn't guide her to the camp. He led her down into a ditch and stopped her right in front of a tree and then ghosted her. Matthew West was standing there, eyes welling up with tears, wanting to help her, wanting to speak out, knowing she was lost. And nothing. She didn't say anything. Anybody feel anxious for Matthew West right now? Any kids younger feel like you've been lost, like you have nobody there to guide you? Until finally the counselor walks up to him and says, hey, do you remember the three rules? She said, yeah. He goes, think about it. And then to Matthew West's delight, she said, Dad, are you there? He said, I never left. I was waiting for you to call out to me. God is waiting for us to call out to him. Not just when we're in need, not just when we're feeling down, but to call out to be with him, to have a relationship with him. I haven't watched it in a long time, but has anybody seen Bruce Almighty? Jim Carrey. I'm a big Jim Carrey fan. And Morgan Freeman plays God. And God gives Jim Carrey his powers for a while, and he gets to experience them. But no matter what he does, he can't make the woman he loves happy. And so near the end of the movie, Morgan Freeman and Jim Carrey are talking to each other, and he's like, I don't know what to do. And he says, God says, what do you want? And Jim Carrey then begins to tell her, I don't care if she's with me. I don't care where she's at. I just want her to be happy. I want her dependence to not be just on me. I want her to be loved. And Morgan Freeman, who plays the role very good, just smiles and says, that's a prayer. God is waiting for us to commune with him, to spend time with him. And he will answer your prayers. It's not always the way that we want it to be. Sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no, sometimes it's not right now. But we have hope. There is a prayer that I pray a lot. I had my daughter pass out the lyrics to a song that I'm going to sing. And this song is really a prayer. And when I find myself working, but also struggling with everything, I find myself singing this prayer. So I invite you, if you know the song, to sing along with me. And if you don't, sing along anyways. But I wanted you to know the words. I wanted you to know the words because they help me a lot. Because sometimes I don't know what to say either. And the only thing that comes out is, Lord, I need you. So I'm just going to read some of these words, and you can read along with me before I sing. Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here I find my rest. And without you I fall apart, you're the one who guides my heart. Jump to verse 2. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. And the chorus is, Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. You are my one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you.
Is where you are, and where Lunchtime.